This is, oh, that's quite loud. This is an exciting time for me, as over the next 5 weeks, really four of them are Advent weeks, but we will be telling stories. I will be telling stories. And I think they're all stories that you will enjoy. I decided to do that fifth week since we're still in December. And even though Advent will be behind us and Christmas will be behind us, that we will continue that story mode throughout the month. So here we go. As beautiful as the Christmas tree with its lights and its ornaments, only the silvery tinsel makes the tree truly shimmer and sparkle with light. I remember as a young boy when we had some pretty scrawny looking Christmas trees. But even the most scraggly tree could be transformed with strands of tinsel. Some people say that we hang tinsel on the Christmas tree to represent icicles. However, there is another story of why we hang tinsel on the tree, and it's one that few people know about, and that is the story that I will tell you this morning on this first Sunday of Advent. The title of our story is The Spider's Gift. It was written by a man called Garth House. Garth House is a freelance writer who lives in Columbus, Ohio. And he lives there with his two cats, Missy and Hiawatha. Having battled major mental illness for 20 years, Garth finds that Christmas and the Christmas season is a time to wonder at the birth of healing into the world. And also into his own life. You see, almost 2,000 years ago, high up in the mountains of Judea, in the land of Palestine, there was a road. It wasn't a paved road or a gravel road, but only a dirt path which climbed steeply up from the valleys of the land of Palestine, over the high mountain passes, and ultimately into the land of Egypt. At the highest pass, this narrow dirt path became very dangerous for travelers. On one side, a sharp cliff dropped away for thousands of feet. At the bottom, there were sharp rocks and big boulders. On the other side of the dirt path, there arose straight up a sheer wall of rock so high that its top could not be seen. The path was just wide enough for a person and a donkey to get by. Many an unfortunate traveler and beast had fallen on the sharp rocks and the big boulders at the bottom of the cliff. For century after century, the wind and the rain had beaten against the sheer wall of rock. As a consequence, there were many caves hollowed out of the rock wall. Some of the caves were small, but others were quite large. Many were large enough for travelers to enter. It is in one of these large caves that our story begins. In this cave, high up on a narrow ledge, there lived a tiny black spider. He had been living in the cave for many, many years. In the morning, he would watch the sunrise. He would spin his webs, singing little songs to himself as he spun. At noon, he would rest and ponder the deep blue sky. And then he would spin some more and sing some more. At evening, he would rest again and watch the clouds turn pink, and then orange, and finally deep crimson as the sun sank beneath the horizon. Then came the time the little spider loved the best. He would sit at the mouth of the cave and watch the stars appear one by one. Finally, the moon would rise, and for hours the spider would sit and gaze at the glittering heavens. Although the little black spider was happy spending his time this way, there was one problem. He was a very lonely spider. For you see, no one had ever come to visit him in all the years that he had lived in his cave. One night, the spider was gazing at the heavens, when suddenly in a part of the sky where there had never been a star before, a tiny pinpoint of light first appeared. It grew brighter and brighter and brighter each night, until it was more brilliant than all the other stars in the sky. It was a new star, and blue and white light shot out of it. The little spider was full of wonder and amazement, and he thought to himself, "This must be a sign. It must mean that something very special and wonderful is going to happen." He thought and thought, and finally decided that the most wonderful thing that could happen to him would be if tomorrow someone came to visit. Full of expectation, he gazed at the new star each night, and he waited. Down from the high mountain pass, where the narrow dirt path twisted and snaked its way through the steep mountains, there lay a valley. In the valley, there was a town called Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, there was an inn and a stable. On the night of our story, the inn was warm and full of light. It was crowded with people who could afford to stay in comfort. The stable, on the other hand, was cold and dark. Inside the stable was a manger, and in the manger lay a new baby fast asleep. The baby's name was Jesus. On one side of the manger slept his father Joseph, and on the other side his mother Mary. As Joseph slept, suddenly there appeared to him in a dream an angel of the Lord. The angel's face shone with light. His mighty wings made a great rushing sound, and all the colors of the rainbow flashed and danced around him. It was the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said, "Joseph, Joseph, make haste. Take your child and your wife and flee to the land of Egypt. Herod the heartless and wicked king has sent his soldiers to murder the child, as well as you and Mary. Quickly flee to safety, for your family is in great danger." There was a blinding flash of light, and the angel vanished. Then Joseph awoke in the darkness of the stable. Outside the stable, he heard the trampling feet of many soldiers and the clanging of metal. Terrified, he crept to the door and peered out. Not more than 10 feet away, a battalion of Herod's soldiers was marching past, their swords and spears flashing in the moonlight. They were headed toward the inn. Joseph realized there might be time to make an escape. He touched his sleeping wife, and when she awoke, he placed a finger to his lips. "Shh!" Without a word and in great haste, they gathered together what few possessions they had. Mary lifted the sleeping child from the manger, and he awoke and began to cry. Mary immediately hugged him to her breast and whispered gentle words to him. Feeling the warmth of his mother's body and the soothing sound of her voice, he soon fell back asleep. Joseph led the donkey out of its stall. He lifted Mary with the sleeping baby still in her arms up onto the donkey. And then taking the donkey by its coarse rope, he led it out of the stable. Quickly and silently, they made their way through the back streets of Bethlehem and headed up into the mountains of Judea, taking the high road to the land of Egypt. It was a cold night, and the donkey was a very stubborn donkey. More than once, it would set its hooves into the ground and stiffen its legs and refuse to go any farther. Then Joseph would pull and he would tug until finally the stubborn donkey moved on. In this fashion, they made their way slowly up into the mountains. They had been traveling for many hours. It was well into the night, and they had climbed very high. They came to a part of the road that was very dangerous. On the one side, a sharp cliff dropped away for thousands of feet, and on the other side, there arose straight up a sheer wall of rock, and it was so high, its top could not be seen. When the donkey saw what lay before him, once again he set his hooves into the ground. He stiffened his legs and he refused to move. Joseph tugged on the rope, but this time he could not get the stubborn beast to move. Then Mary, looking down at her husband, said, "Joseph, look at your hands." And Joseph held up his hands into the moonlight. They were raw and bleeding. And Mary said, "Joseph, my husband, you are tired and weary, and I am cold. The donkey will go no further. So let's go into one of these caves and spend the night. Then when the sun rises in the morning, we will make our way down into the land of Egypt." So they found a cave that was large enough even for the donkey. They went into the cave, for Joseph lifted Mary with the child in her arms down off the donkey, and they lay down on the cold, hard floor of the cave. They placed the child between them and huddled together for warmth, and soon they were all asleep. Whose cave do you think it was which they had chosen to spend the night? You see, when the little black spider heard his guests enter the cave, he got terribly excited. At first, he was going to go right down and introduce himself. But then he thought, well, he might frighten his visitors. So he decided he would wait. After a while, all was quiet on the cave floor. And only then did the spider go down and investigate. He spun out a strand of web and lowered himself from his ledge. Down and down he went until he was suspended right above the sleeping figures on the cave floor. The moonlight flooded in through the mouth of the cave and fell across the sleeping family. The spider gazed down upon his guests. First he looked on Mary and thought of himself, "Oh, how beautiful she is." And then he looked on Joseph and thought, "Oh, how kind he is." But when he beheld the sleeping child between them, he was filled with great awe and wonder. Somehow the spider knew that here in this child was something more full of hope than the sun rising in the morning, more peaceful than the sky at noon, lovelier than the clouds at evening, and more mysterious and wonderful than even the stars and the moon at night. The little spider, hanging there in the cold night air, believed that this child was going to bring great love and kindness into the world. He hung there, suspended by his web, gazing down in adoration. Then something unexpected happened. The baby Jesus woke up. He opened his eyes, and there in the moonlight, just above him, he saw the little spider dangling from his web. For a moment, the spider and the child looked in astonishment at each other. And then the child smiled, and then he laughed and reached up with his hand as if to touch the little spider. And when the spider saw that smile and heard that laughter, a joy such as he had never known before him flooded into him. In a flash, he knew he would never be alone again, no matter what happened. He knew that the brilliant new star he had seen in the heavens was a sign, not just that something wonderful was going to happen to him, but that something wonderful was going to happen to the whole world. Almost beside himself, with joy and excitement, the little spider climbed quickly back to his ledge. He was overcome by a great desire to give a gift to the child. But like the baby Jesus, this little spider was very poor. And when he looked around his ledge, he saw absolutely nothing he could give to his guest. And then he had an idea. "It's very cold in my cave," he thought. "But if I spin a web across the mouth of the cave, it will keep the wind out. It will grow warm in here for the child and his parents. Yes, that will be my gift." Immediately, the little spider set about his task. Up and down he went across the mouth of the cave, spinning his web. Back and forth he went, weaving together intricate patterns of triangles and squares and circles. And as he spun, he sang to himself. Only now new songs welled up inside of him. Songs, the words and melodies of which he had never thought of before. Songs strange and beautiful, coming from a place deep inside that he had never known before this night. In great joy and exultation, he worked furiously in the moonlight until finally his work was completed. This web was the little spider's masterpiece. Never in all the time he had been spinning webs had the spider woven such a splendidly complex and lovely creation. Even the spider himself was amazed at the grandeur and beauty of his work. Very tired, but very happy, he climbed back up to his ledge and fell sound asleep. Gradually, in the chilly night, ice began to form on the strands of his magnificent web. Before long, the whole web was coated with a shining, silvery glaze like a tapestry of glimmering fire or a great luminous crystal. The web shone with the reflected light of the moon and the stars. The clear white light from the heavens danced off the ice-covered web in flashes of red and green and royal blue. For some time, there was complete silence, with only the moon and stars as witnesses to the little spider's gift. And then suddenly, down the dirt path, there came the sound of feet trampling on the cold, hard earth. The footsteps came closer and closer to the cave, and Mary and Joseph woke up. They heard the footsteps approaching, and then they heard something which put a great fear into their hearts, the harsh, clanging sound of metal swords and spears. Mary and Joseph knew immediately it was Herod's soldiers who approached, and they looked at each other and then at the sleeping child between them. Tears filled their eyes. They joined hands across the sleeping baby. They closed their eyes, and silently they both offered up a prayer to the God of Israel. They asked God for a miracle that would save them from the death at the hands of Herod's men. The footsteps came closer and closer until they were right outside the cave. Then there was silence. Outside the cave stood two of Herod's soldiers. All night long they had been trudging through the mountains of Judea, going in and out of every cave they came to, looking for the baby Jesus and his parents. They were tired and cold and hungry. And their spirits were heavy because they did not like the evil mission they had been ordered to carry out. They had already killed all the male children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. But when they came to the little spider's cave, they stopped. There before them, radiant in the moonlight, was the little black spider's splendid web. And the soldiers stood before it in great wonder and awe. Never in all their lives had they seen anything quite so beautiful. For a while, neither one could speak. Then one of the soldiers, still gazing at the web, whispered to his friend. He said, "Certainly there can be no one in this cave, for if there were, this web would be broken." For a moment, his friend did not respond. Then, without taking his eyes from the glowing web, he answered in a hushed voice, "You know, you're right. There could be no one in there. We should continue our search elsewhere." Yet neither soldier moved. They seemed caught in a spell cast by the beauty of the web. Finally, the soldier who had spoken first shivered. He remembered the dark errand he had been sent on, and he touched his friend on the shoulder. Reluctantly, the two soldiers moved on and continued their search. Inside the cave, Mary and Joseph heard the footsteps fading away in the distance, and they began to weep quietly, not from sadness, of course, but out of joy that the God of Israel had delivered them and their child from the hands of death. The baby Jesus and the little black spider had slept soundly through this close brush with Herod's soldiers. Soon Mary and Joseph were also asleep. for the cave had become warm and cozy because of the web spun across the entrance. So comfortable was the cave, and so tired were its occupants, that for the first time in a long while, there was no one at the mouth of the cave in the morning to greet the sun as it rose. And by the time Mary and Joseph awoke, the rays of the sun had already melted and dissolved the beautiful web. When the little spider finally awoke, his guests had already gone on their way to the land of Egypt. But he wasn't sad that his visitors had left. In fact, for the first time in his life, the spider was completely happy. The whole world seemed to be a brand new place, and the little spider felt that he was just now, for the very first time, seeing how really beautiful everything was. He felt like he was brand new as well, seeing how really beautiful everything was. He felt like he was brand new, as though this day was going to be the first day of a brand new life. He sat in the warm sun at the entrance to his cave. A great stillness surrounded him, and in his heart there was peace. He gazed up into the deep blue sky for the first time in his life, and he offered up a prayer of thanksgiving for the very gift of life. As for the soldiers, well, our story is not the last time that their paths would cross the life of Jesus of Nazareth. But you see, that is a tale for another time and another place. But what does this story of the little spider's gift have to do with tinsel? Well, this Christmas, when you hang tinsel on your tree, take some strands of it and look closely at them. Notice how silvery and shiny they are. Then hang them on the tree and see how the different colors from the lights dance and shimmer among the silvery strands. Now imagine the beauty of that magnificent web the little spider spun because of his love for Jesus. We hang tinsel on the tree each Christmas to remind us of the little spider's gift to the Christ child. It helps us to remember that giving a gift to someone we love is a very wonderful thing. And sometimes it can even cause a miracle to happen. The end.